Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Solomon, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." A few weeks ago, I talked about stewardship and how the Lord has granted so many wonderful things to us. And if every single thing that we have, every single thing that we own, comes from Him, we are to return those things to Him, to give glory to His holy name. So in that sermon, I mentioned that God has given all of us 168 hours. Whether you're a busy person or not busy, you have 168 hours in the week. We also know that God has established in His Old Testament that a good general idea of giving back to the Lord is 10%, which gives us 16.8% right off the top to choose to return to the Lord. Today, we have probably one of the more difficult gospel lessons to dig through. But we see here that this man is a steward. That is, he understands that what he has been given belongs to his master, to the one who has authority over him. He is being fired for mismanaging those goods that belonged to his master. He did not do it properly. And so as he is being fired, he takes and he tries to rewrite the bill, making it less, with the hope that those that he has changed it for will let him into their lives. Because he is not going to dig, he's not going to beg, so what is he going to do? He's going to hope that they will give to him. And at the end of that gospel lesson, Jesus says, "The master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home." We know from multiple places in the scripture that at the end of our life, we will give an account to our master. We will specifically tell him the good that we were able to do, that he did through us, and we will also cry out for his mercy for the sins that we have committed. But we do this to a master who is just and who loves us, so that at the end of that time, he will say, "Your debt has been paid in full." And he will point to the cross of Jesus Christ, the cross that we clung to in life and into death, and say, "Enter into the kingdom." But on that day, how will we reckon that which our Lord has given to us? Will we say, "Look, I saved up all the things that you gave for me, and I didn't waste any of it"? Will we say, "Look, this is the way that you were able to work. It glorified your name"? Will we say, "I was never truly sure that what you gave me was enough"? Think about what we will say on that day. Do we trust our Lord? Do we give back to Him completely, trusting that He does provide us with everything that we need to support this body and life? You hear those words time and time again. They're in the small catechism. Each of you have put them into your heart. But do we truly believe it? The Bible is given to us as God's word. This is His desire for our lives. Do we trust Him? Do we put our faith in Him? Or do we put our faith in our stuff? Give consideration to our epistle lesson. St. Paul writes about Moses, about all these events in the Old Testament. He says, "These things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after the evil things as they also lusted." And so today I want to recount those things, some of them, and we recount them right from Psalm 106. So we'll dig through Psalm 106. "Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his namesake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. So he led them through the depths, as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. You know that story. You know the story of how God drove his people out of Egypt after 10 plagues. The 10th plague was the death of the firstborn. But God redeemed the firstborn of Israel. He used lamb's blood to mark the door that the angel of death would pass over. And he said, "You will return your firstborn son to me throughout the generations." Hannah did that. She had prayed fervently for a baby boy, even though she had been barren. God heard her prayer. He opened her womb and gave to her Samuel. And she returned the boy to service in Christ's church. Do we give our children to God, or do we give them to the world? Think about that. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. So after God opened the Red Sea, all the Israelites were able to get across on dry land. Pharaoh, in his conceitedness, crossed as well. But before he could make it, after he was in the Red Sea on that dry land and all of his host, God returned the waters and drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and his host in the depth of the Red Sea. Those words you heard last week in Luther's flood prayer. And what was their response? Their response was to sing praise to God. I will sing praise to the Lord. But they forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. When things are going well, do we remember that it is God that has given it to us? Or do we look instead inwardly? And when we look inwardly, God gives us over to that. You will for a time now see what it's like to depend only on yourself. And then leanness approaches. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. Why should Moses rule over us? Why should God give us the leaders that he gives us? We are not content in this. We will rise up in anarchy. But the earth opened, and fire, as God's punishment and warning against other, consumed the bodies of those who had rejected him and his servants. They made a calf in Horeb and worshiped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. We know that story. Maybe it's because we watched Charlton Heston relive it over and over and over again. But we saw God's people worship this golden calf. As God was telling his servant Moses, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," they had Aaron, the high priest, make a golden calf to worship it. God would cause them to drink that calf, and 3,000 fell by the sword because of their turning away from God. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them. had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. God and Moses spoke on that mountain. God threatened to wipe them all out and instead make a great nation from Moses. Moses reminded God of his covenant, of his promise. God did not wipe them out, but there was punishment for their unbelief. They despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in their lands. God gave them the promised land, and they rejected it. 10 of the 12 spies that were sent in said, "This land is too dangerous for us." Joshua and Caleb being the only ones who said, "Yes, it's dangerous. Yes, their people are giants, but God has given it to us." But they rejected that word and spent the next 40 years wandering until every one of those adults, except for Joshua and Caleb, died. They did not trust in God, and it was taken away from them and given to their children. They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague brake in upon them. God told them, "When you go into the land that I am giving you, do not marry the pagans. Do not take them for your wives. Do not give your daughters over to them, for they will reject the faith. They will turn from the truth into death." But they did not listen. And so even the priests married unbelievers. And God sent a plague upon them, killing over 20,000 of them for it, until he rose up Phinehas. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed. Phinehas took into his hands the word of the Lord, caused death to those who had rejected him, and God then stopped the plague. That might be one of the least remembered stories in our minds, and yet there it is, over 20,000 dead, just as St. Paul recounts in our epistle lesson. "Let us not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell." How important is it to marry within the household of faith, to take a wife or be given to a husband that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, that will pray for us, that will be with us in worship, that will rejoice through the hard times and the good that Jesus Christ is King and Lord. That was counted unto him for righteousness, that is Phinehas, unto all generations forevermore. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes. "We were thirsty. Lord, give us water. Why did you take us out of Egypt in the first place? To die?" Moses, according to God's command, struck the rock and water flowed. But when they grumbled again and God told Moses, "Speak to the rock," Moses instead struck it twice. And God told Moses that he would not enter the promised land. They provoked his spirit so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, till the land was polluted with blood. They allowed themselves to be given over to the false gods of the land. The false gods are nothing other than demons and devils with their lies. what happens when God's people comes to a land and brings forth the gospel unto the nation, and in turn rejects it for themselves, allowing those false religions to return, rejoicing in them, even teaching them in a positive way within their schools. What happens? We see sacrifice. Sacrifice not of godly things, but sacrifice of their own children. They gave their children up to these demons named Baal and Ashtar. They gave them up for the hope, for the promise of better crops, of more possessions, of more time to do the things that they wanted to do. And if you cannot see how clearly this giving up of sacrificing of children very much is given and happening today, I don't know how to tell you. They gave their own children up for the hope of lies of the devil, and it polluted their lands. They turned from their God, and they fell into death and destruction. Thus they were defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they hated them that ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. You know that that is the story of the Old Testament. Yes, throughout is the promise of the Messiah, the hope that is Jesus Christ. But also we see how God's people would for a time follow him, but then reject him and intermarry with the unbelievers and turn instead to the false gods, and he would send punishments. They would cry out for his mercy, and he would be merciful to them, but the cycle would go over and over and over again until the northern kingdom was crushed by Assyria in 722, and eventually the southern kingdom taken into captivity in 587 to 86, and for 70 years led away to Babylon. They would return, rebuild the temple, and try to dedicate themselves. But by the time that Jesus Christ came into the flesh, so many had rejected the true faith. He remembered them, for them his covenant, and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. That is where we need to be today. For too long we have allowed our people to follow the godless world, the lies of the devils and the demons of this land. For too long we have rejected the true salvation that is Jesus Christ, to get ahead in the world. But what has it given us? Has it given us peace? It has not. Has it given us joy? Look at the amounts of people that suffer from melancholy and depression. Return to the Lord. Know that he is merciful, that he is slow to anger, and he is abounding in his mercy and steadfast love. Jesus is the point. In the temptations that we struggle through, we look to Jesus. In the times when we are weak, we look to Jesus. In the times when we are faint-hearted, in the times when we believe that there is nothing left for us, we look to Jesus. And in the times of joy, in the times of gathering as we are here today, in the times when we recognize that it's the body and blood of Jesus that cover us and that forgive us our sins by his death on the cross, we look to his cross. We look to Jesus. And so, with his people of old, we once again speak in prayer Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.